Evan's going to lead us in a song, and then we'll begin our little boy's devotional. So, Evan, lead us, my friend.
Eight, 9:59. Just a little talk with Jesus. I was a lost in sin, but Jesus took me in, and then all life from heaven filled my soul. It bathed my heart in love and wrote my name above. And just a little talk with Jesus made me whole. Have a little talk with Jesus. Troubles here, faith is crying, answered by and by. With a prayerful yearning, harder to heaven is turning. Find a little talk with Jesus, makes it right. I may have doubts and fears, my eyes be filled with tears, but Jesus is a friend who watches day and night. I go to him in prayer, he knows my every care, and just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Have a little talk with Jesus, tell him all about our troubles. Hear faintest cry, answer by and by. Fill a prayerful yearning, harder to heaven is turning. Find a little talk with Jesus, makes it right.
Thanks, Evan. Good job, buddy.
Sing, God is so good.
God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. He answers prayers. He answers prayers. He answers prayers. He's so good to me.
Amen.
We're going to sing, "This World Is Not My Home."
This world is not my home, I'm just a passenger. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore.
Lord, what will I do?
The
say, Lord.
All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day and all you bless us with. Help us worship you in spirit and in truth. And in Jesus' name, amen.
We will be quoting James 1 through 12.
James, a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes of the dispersion. Greetings, count your joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know the testing of your faith produces patience, and what patience has perfect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let them ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind.
For that man must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. For that man is double-minded and unstable in all his ways. Let the lowly brother boast in his exaltation, and the rich in his humiliation. For like a flower of the grass, he will pass away. For the sun rises with its scorching heat and withers the grass. Its flower falls and its beauty perishes. So also will the rich man fade away in the midst of his pursuits. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him.
Good evening and welcome to Florence Boulevard. We're glad that you're with us tonight. If you're a visitor, we would ask that you fill out one of the cards from the pew in front of you and place that along the pew when you leave, or hand it to one of the regular members. We'll make sure that gets to our ministry team. We're having a baby boy diaper pounding for Christy Hinton. That will go through January the 22nd. A basket for that is located on the bench in the foyer. Young professionals, you'll be having a devotional at the North Alabama Christian Children's Home on Tuesday, January the 31st from 6 to 8. Gene Green's food team for room in the inn. You will need to meet down front tonight as soon as services are over. The girls-led Devo will be Sunday, January the 29th at 4 o'clock. The sign-up sheet is on the bulletin board behind the auditorium. And finally, tomorrow, January the 16th, Brother Ronnie Putnam will be admitted to NOMC to start on medication and observation. Then on Wednesday, January the 18th, they will do another cardioversion. Please pray for this procedure that will be successful for him. That's all the announcements I have. At this time, we'll begin our evening worship.
First song this evening will be We Shall Assemble, and we'll sing it through twice.
We shall assemble on the mountain. We shall assemble at the throne with humble hearts into his presence. We bring an offering of song, glory and honor and dominion. Thank you.
next song this evening will be Hide Me Away, O Lord. We'll sing all three verses. Hide me away, O Lord.
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 This evening will be number 275, and we'll sing this through twice.
Let's all pray. Our Father in heaven, we're thankful for this beautiful day you've given us, Father. We're thankful for the great country we live in. We're thankful, Father, for the wonderful congregation of believers we have here at Florence Boulevard. Father, we realize that all good things come from you, and we're mindful of the many, many blessings that you give us. Father, we're thankful for the growth that we've experienced here at Florence Boulevard over the past couple of years. We pray that you'll continue to bless us in that manner. We pray that you'll help us to take advantage of that growth and spread the borders of your kingdom, Father. Father, we're thankful that for everyone here that serves, from the elders and deacons and teachers and the ministers and secretaries and everyone who's involved here in the work, Father. We're thankful for World Bible School and the opportunity we have to spread the good news throughout the world, Father. And we're thankful for the opportunities you've given us to bless others with your word, Father. Father, pray that you'll be with those among us who are having health issues. We're especially mindful of Brother Ronnie at this time. Pray that you'll bless him and bless those that are taking care of him. And pray, Father, that the doctors and those that tend to him will be able to restore him back to a state of normal health. Father, we pray for those who are unable to be with us because of illnesses, because of vulnerability to viruses and such. Pray that you'll help us to help them to be lifted in spirit, Father. Help us to communicate to them that they're loved and not forgotten. Father, we pray for those that have recently lost loved ones. Pray that you'll give them strength to carry on, and pray that you'll give us the wisdom to express to them that they're loved and not alone. Father, pray that you'll be with Austin tonight as he brings us the message. Pray that you'll be with us as we receive it. Help us to all gain from what we study this evening. Father, we do realize that we fail you, and pray that you'll forgive us of those sins, Father. Pray that you'll help us to be stronger Christians tomorrow than we were today. And Father, pray that you'll help us to live in such a way that when the end comes, we'll have a home with you in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.
Before we have a chance to take the Lord's Supper together, this evening we'll sing all three verses of number 364.
We gather here in Jesus' name. His love is burning. To partake of the communion, have the cup. Okay. And we shall continue. The scriptures proclaim the dignity and the position of Jesus as a king. And Paul said that Jesus is the king in 1 Timothy 6:15 says, "He who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords." And Jesus is still reigning today, just like that.
In 1 Corinthians 15:25, it says, "For he must reign until he has put all of his enemies under his feet." Every king has a crown, and some of them have extremely valuable crowns, made of gold and silver and valuable diamonds, rubies, all kinds of things in the crowns. And crowns were a symbol of authority and honor. Yet the only crown that Jesus ever wore was a crown of thorns. A crown of thorns. Designed as a symbol of ridicule, mockery, and hate. The crown of thorns was placed on his head by the Roman soldiers. And then Pilate took after that and Jesus took Jesus' head scourged. And the soldiers twisted this crown of thorns and put it on his head. And put on him a purple robe. And what can we learn from a crown of thorns? A crown of thorns teaches us the long suffering and the patience of our Lord. Patience, he endured the contempt and the mockery of these soldiers. And what was his accomplishment? His mission was salvation for us. And these soldiers were using Jesus as a means of sport, just to entertain themselves as he suffered. But Jesus endured this adversity to save mankind, and that's us, from the penalty of sin. For the Son of Man came to seek to save that which was lost. The crown of thorns teaches us the cruelty of man. Those who would put a crown on a crown of thorns on somebody's head would have no love for his fellow man. And they're bloodthirsty men, hating the Lord Jesus. Bloodthirsty, they hate, and they hate those who are blameless. And Jesus came to be the king, and they crowned him with thorns. He has all the power over nature, and they crowned him with thorns. He can walk on water and calm the storms, and they crowned him with thorns. He healed the sick, raised the dead, and they crowned him with thorns. Why did he allow that kind of treatment from these wicked men? Without the suffering and death of Jesus, and enduring the crown of thorns, we would have no hope for our salvation. So let's go to God and thank him for this time that we may remember what he went through for our salvation. Shall we pray as we partake of this bread? Our holy God, we are so thankful to you and to Jesus for allowing himself to be humiliated and hurt and injured with a broken body from being scourged and being these thorns and the nails in his hands and feet. We're thankful, Father, that he loved us so much that he would go through that for us who have been sinning against him. And he did that so he could make possible our salvation and forgiveness of sins. So we want to thank you, Father, for this loaf. And pray that you'll bless each one who partakes. In Jesus' holy name, and amen. And let's say thanks also for the cup. Our God and Father, we again acknowledge you, we praise you, we're gracious, we thank you for all the ways that you bless us every day. But we also want at this time to remember the way that you blessed us when Jesus went to that cross. He was humiliated and spat in his face, and they put that crown of thorns on his head. Thorns. What a great insult. The King of Kings. And we pray in this In the name of that King, Jesus, and amen. And if any would like to participate in the group collection today, I've got one from, I got it turned in from Cedarview, and it'll be a box in the foyer out there to put the contribution in. Shall we pray? Say thanks for the blessings of life. Our Holy Father and gracious Lord, we again acknowledge you as the giver of all good gifts. We're thankful for everyday blessings that we get in the way of food and shelter. We're thankful, Father, for the ways that you have provided for us over the years and for us recently. We ask that as we return this portion that you will use it in your service, that you will multiply it and make it more than it is in its use. We pray that you'll continue to bless us, that we will always want to be willing to support your works. And we ask that you'll bless this particular contribution. We pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen.
Let's stand as we sing this next song and then remain standing God's word afterwards.
He took my burdens all away up to a brighter day.
Reading tonight will be taken from the book of Psalms. Psalms chapter 148, verse 13, read from the NIV. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name is above all exalted. His splendor is above the earth and in the heavens.
I don't think that my grandfather will ever be able to come here. He is at a stage of life taking care of grandma that they really can't get away and they can't go too far. And that's sad. Maybe one day, just turned 88, I believe. You don't know my grandfather. Some of you might. I would really hope to, there's one person here whose brother worshipped at the congregation up in Des Moines, Iowa, where my grandfather planted the church and became an elder of the church there. So nobody here other than my wife and my in-laws know my grandfather. My grandfather is known by many names. we as grandchildren get to call him a very special ooey-gooey name, Grandfather Nearhoof. Two people get to call him a better name, Dad. That's good. One person gets to call him Dear. That's what my grandmother calls my grandpa normally. One person gets to call him Oren, my dad. I always called him Oren for some reason. If you were to meet my grandfather, however, he would walk up to you, he would squeeze your hand, and he would catch you at the fingertips so he could hurt you. And he would introduce himself as, "I am Dr. Edward Oren Nearhoof, sir. Nice to meet you." That's what he says. That's everybody. My friends in college, my friends in high school. The president of Fried Hardeman, the random person in Richmond, Kentucky at Walgreens Pharmacy. Dr. Edward Oren Nearhoof, sir. He goes by many names, but he's one person. And as you use each name, you understand something different about him. He was Dr. Edward Oren Nearhoof because he was the superintendent of Des Moines City Schools. He got his PhD in French linguistics and was a very, very proud of that study and that pursuit of all of those things. So you use a different name, and you know something different about him. Did you know that the same thing happens with our God? Now, you may not have realized it, but you probably have. And if you didn't realize it before, I want you to see it tonight. Look in Genesis chapter 1, and I want to talk about the names of God. Genesis 1 to Genesis chapter 2, verse 4. We will see three different names in reference to God that I want us to identify. First, now that your Bible is open, let's pause in prayer. Holy Father, we pray that our minds will dive into your word, but they will ascend into the glory of heaven where you reside. You have always been and will always be. Our minds cannot fathom who you are. We can only begin even to grasp pieces of who you are by the names in which you have identified yourself. And so we pray that we receive those names tonight, begin to understand them tonight, and love you more as we come to know you better. In the name of Jesus, amen. Genesis 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Verse 2. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. The Spirit of God hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated light from darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning. That was the first day. And so we have God, G-O-D. We have the Spirit of God, and your Bible probably capitalizes Spirit with a capital S. Then skip over to chapter 2, and look at verse 4. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created. In the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. Your Bible probably capitalizes L-O-R-D, Lord. All caps, Lord, God. Now, last week I used the name Yahweh, 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 and I said it a lot. It sparked a question, which was, why is God Yahweh God, and what does Yahweh God even mean? Well, it's two different names, Yahweh and God, Lord and God. So in your Bible, we have identified three already, and I'll start with those three. God, and that is the one back in Genesis chapter 1, scattered throughout all of chapter 1, but specifically here in chapter 2, verse 4. What we have is in a transliterated language, which is this. The Old Testament was originally penned in Hebrew, the New Testament in Greek. Then they translated the whole thing in Latin called the Septuagint. And so different words have gone through translations and transliterations, and so we get an English word that I can say and pronounce because I don't read those original languages very well. In chapter 2, verse 4, let me give you the names. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created. In the day that Yahweh Elohim made the earth and the heavens. We're reading in the Word. If you have questions, please, please ask us. Because this is sparking great study. Yahweh Elohim. Now, there are a bunch of names. Whole lot. Names that I can't pronounce. And while the names may not be able to be pronounced, the meanings of these names are quite powerful. And I've made a list in parentheses of what these names might mean. The Lord God Almighty, El Shaddai, you've heard that one. The Most High God, Adonai, Lord and Master. Yahweh, Lord, Jehovah. The Lord is my shepherd, the Lord that heals. The Lord is there. The Lord who sanctifies. The everlasting God, God himself, Elohim, jealous God, how the Lord will provide. There's a popular song out now called Jehovah Jireh. The Lord is peace, Jehovah Shalom, the Lord of hosts. These are a lot of names. That's not even all of them. That's just a selection. So what we're getting from all of these names is that the nature of God is diverse and complex and wonderful. But what I want you to be able to do is when you read in the scriptures to know what we are drawing on and what needs to be drawn out from the word. And so when we read in Genesis 2 verse 4, these are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. So, two names specifically. God. This is Elohim. This is God the judge. God the creator. This is the monotheistic God of people Israel. This is the name that they, as Israelites, would most often use and equate with their God because he's the God of the people of Israel. Now, in the New Testament, we would know this as theos, that is, God. It's the standard word for God, meaning a transcendent being who exercises extraordinary control in human affairs, or the one who is responsible for the bestowal of benefits. Now, that's the God of the people. Now, when you read in your Bible, chapter 2, verse 4, capital G, lowercase O-D, because that's God Elohim. But before that, why are all the letters in the Lord capitalized? Have you ever wondered that? I have. And when I type it out, I have to capitalize it and then lowercase and shrink the capital letters of O-R-D to make it make sense. That's Yahweh God, Lord and Master. This is the omnipotent and the absolute ruler. This is not just the Lord of monotheistic Israel, the God of the people. This is the God of heaven and earth, of all creation. As a matter of fact, in Hebrew, it doesn't have any vowels, and it only has the letters YHWH. They call that the tetragrammaton, because tetragrammaton means the holy four letters. They call it the holy four letters because at a certain point in time, Jews wouldn't even try to speak that name, for it is too holy to even come from the mouth of sinful men. And in the 3rd century A.D., it's thought that the Jews quit using it altogether. And instead of using the name Yahweh God, they switched it over to Adonai. And so they spoke a different name out of great reverence for YHWH. Because it was too holy even to speak in obedience to Exodus chapter 20, verse 7. Now, can I just take a step back from preaching and ask a couple of questions? The history of that word was out of such reverence for the name, people groups wouldn't even say it. And we sometimes are so flippant that we say, good Lord, oh my God, I got chills when I said those two things because I said it out loud, and it's disgusting to hear that. I can't even tell you the other ways I hear people say that name. God has become so common, and sometimes people lack such respect that they can use it in curse form. Whether you're texting it, speaking it, even thinking it. How far away we have fallen from the reverence of the name of God. I know the Lord said that he will receive the name that is above every name. It's the name of Jesus. And when I read the name of God, I have the anticipation that I know Jesus is coming. I know that he is the Son of God, will receive that great name. And so whether we choose to bow before him now or we will eventually be forced to bow before him later, we will all bow before the name of the Lord our God. God, Lord, and Spirit. Now back in Genesis chapter 1 verse 2. Oh, so by the way, every time in your Bible when you see L-O-R-D, that is the Tetragrammaton. The holy four letters, Yahweh God. Yahweh also being transliterated into Jehovah God, the great omniscient, omnipotent God. So just know that in the scriptures when you're reading it. Now back in Genesis chapter 1 verse 2, the earth was without form and void. Darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. I don't know what that looked like, because it was dark. And I don't know how the Spirit hovered over the face of the deep, of the waters, but here is what Spirit is. Spirit is this word, ruach, which means wind or breath or spirit. It's the exact same definition of our New Testament Holy Spirit, pneumatos, Holy Spirit. Now, this was the voice and the movement of God in creation. Spirit, while it means wind, it wasn't actually a wind because wind wasn't created yet. There was no wind. So metaphorically, the Spirit is the wind or the breath. It's like when you breathe, when you speak. I have so much hot air blowing out of my mouth right now because when in my mind I choose to speak, it comes out. I can't help it. It's in my nature. It's who I am and how God created all of us to be. God is the same way. The Spirit is the wind, breath, or movement of God that puts it into action. That's Spirit. That's the essence of who he is. You can't see it, but you know it's there. You see its effect. You see its power. Those are some of the names of God I wanted to dive into today. So Psalm 148 verse 13 said, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent, his glory above the earth and heaven. A name, and when we come to know God just a bit better by these names, a name is not just identification, but also identity. When Brianne chose to marry me, she chose to take my name. So it's not just her identification as Austin's wife, but it now becomes part of her identity of why and of, excuse me, of who people know her to be. It is her identification. Many times, in the Old Testament specifically, special meanings were attached to names. There's a very interesting one in 1 Samuel 25, verse 25, when Abigail came up to David and spoke to David, oh, my Lord, my Lord. Her husband being Nabal, N-A-B-A-A-L. Well, Nabal meant foolish one or fool. And she's like, David, his name's Nabal, and that's exactly what he is. Folly is with him because he acted foolishly before David. Names had great meanings. And so, God and you. Who is God to you? Is he your most high God? Your all-sufficient one? Your master? Your Lord of peace? The Lord who will provide? Is he your father? Is he the Lord our shepherd? Is he the God that knows your name?
Well, then shouldn't we know him by his name? Jesus, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, when the disciples came to him and asked him, Lord, teach us how to pray, how did he open his prayer? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Exalted and hallowed be his great name. His great name in the world in which he created according to his will. There's even a Jewish prayer called the Kaddish, Q-A-D-D-I-S-H. You can look it up. And this prayer states this. Jews would come together and exalt this prayer together in unison. Exalted and hallowed be his great name in the world which he created according to his will. And that is exactly what they would say. To hallow a thing is to make it holy or to set it apart. It's to be exalted as being worthy of absolute devotion. And to hallow the name of God is to regard him with complete devotion and loving admiration. But to hallow the name of God is not simply to repeat a prayer with my lips and with the right words. But hallowing the name of God can only come as his name, that is his person, and his nature is first hallowed within the people who are uttering the prayer. And this will happen as it becomes true for each of us that God's name is of the utmost importance. I made a Facebook post, so automatically nobody under the age of 30 saw it. I made a Facebook post this past week about Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 5, and I was fascinated by that text. You can write that down and read about it later. Nehemiah chapter 9, read it. In that text, here's what I found God's people doing. The people stood in fasting, sackcloth, dirt covering their heads. And the Bible says that they hallowed themselves from all of the peoples. You know what it means to hallow themselves? To separate themselves. They separated themselves from all of their peoples. They read the word of God aloud for a quarter of the day. They worshiped and confessed their sins for another quarter of the day, meaning half of the day. They became hallowed in worship of the Father, in great reverence and awe of him. We ought to reserve the name of God and keep it in a place and position of the utmost significance in our minds and our hearts. Exodus chapter 20, verse 7 says, "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain." And Leviticus chapter 22, verse 32 says, "And you shall not profane my holy name, that I may be sanctified among the people of Israel. I am the Lord," capital L-O-R-D, Yahweh, Jehovah, Tetragrammaton, the name that I shouldn't even speak, who sanctifies you, who brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God, Elohim. I am the Lord, capital L-O-R-D. His people must always rejoice in it. Think deeply upon it and praise him because of it. The Lord our God. His name must become the nurture to our nature. As Leviticus 11:44 and then again in 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 16, be what? Be holy, for I the who? Lord your God am holy. His name, which is holy, is the nurture become holy for what I hope my nature becomes holy. His name should be the nurture to my nature. And when that happens, we come closer to the Lord our God. Now, thinking about the names of God, there are a couple of things about me I've concluded. I'm not the judge or the creator. All of this belongs to that Creator God. And all the things that we do will be judged by that Creator God. And in John chapter 5, verse 26 to 29, I'd like to point out a few words from the Scriptures. John chapter 5, 26 to 29. These are the words of Jesus. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. He's creator, life. And he's given him authority to execute judgment. He's also the judge, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, creator of life. Those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment, judge. And church, that's not me. But what I know about Jesus as I read the word and I hear the name of God and I'm thinking about Jesus coming, what I know about Jesus is that at one point and on one day, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. I am not the judge. I am not the creator. It is reserved for God. I also know that I am not anyone's Lord or master. I hear the words of God in this moment. For the Son of Man came not to serve, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. Now, I am a husband, I am a father, but I am not the Lord and master. Some people call me the preacher. Sometimes I just want to be a mouthpiece. All I want in my prayer this morning before we assembled was that the words that I'd speak would honor God and would fill his people. He is Lord and Master. I also realize that I'm not the Spirit. But man, I can praise God that I have the Spirit. I have access to my God through the Spirit. And I know it because in the Scriptures, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18 to 22, for through him we both have access, Ephesians chapter 2, 18 to 22. This is the last text I have for the evening. I like when I pause, I hear more pages turning because people know I'm going to wait for them. I don't want you to take my words for it. I want you to see it in God's word. For through him we both have access in one Spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. And pew packers tonight, we got to the last couple pieces of the timeline of the Bible, and we said the life of Christ, life of Christ. And I said, why do we do this rock here? And they're like, oh, because Jesus is a stone. Well, why is Jesus a stone? Well, he is the rock on which his church is built. Remember that, kids? Remember that, adults? Built on Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple when his name, which is holy, becomes the nurture to my nature, which is be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. We grow into one holy temple in the Lord. Verse 22, in him, you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God, by whom? What does the Bible say? The Spirit, capital S. The wind or breath of the Father. I'm none of those things, but I know the one who is. You are none of those things, but you know the one who is. And so if you can't, with Paul's words in Ephesians 2, say that you are a part of the body of Christ, brought in, forgiven by the blood of Jesus, made new by the power of the Spirit, ushered into the family of God under his headship, what are you waiting on? And this is the best life to live in Christ. It's the only life to live. It's the only one that's going to live now into eternity with God in heaven, that is. And I hope you take part in that. If that's not the name you follow, I pray tonight you start. Church, be in the Word this week. We're starting out a new section. Genesis chapter 43, I believe it's to Exodus chapter 12. We're going to be in the Word. Because when we're in the Word, we know that this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. And as we are in the Word together, we see Jesus coming as we examine God's work and people's actions in the midst of all those things. It's a beautiful thing to be part of a church that is united together in the Word of God. Hope you take part in that. Now, if we can help you as far as the response goes, we want to pray with you. We're a responsive church. We're a praying church. We're a church that honors God. If you need help with any of those things, as well as becoming a Christian tonight, let God help you. And we'll be here as his hands and feet. Let's stand up and sing together.
Thank everyone for being here this evening. Hope to see you all back on Wednesday night. As we close this evening, we'll sing A Common Love. We'll sing it through once and be dismissed in prayer.
A common love for each other, a common gift.
Let's all pray together. Our Father in heaven, we're thankful for this day and for the opportunity and the ability we've had to come and to worship you today. We pray that you be with those that mentioned that are sick, those that are having tests or procedures done. Pray that you be with them, be with those that are performing these tests and procedures. Pray that they can do the best of their ability to the talents that you've given them. Pray that you help us to always look to you, that we always show you the respect that you so rightly deserve. We pray that you go with us throughout the week. Pray that we can be good examples for you, and pray that we always remember the sacrifice that your son Jesus made for us. We remember that on a daily basis and the importance that it has for us. In your son's name we pray. Amen.